Welcome to episode 3 of the KJB Cast, your weekly source for gaming news, reviews, opinion, and gossip. We are here tonight with
Kevin,
Caleb Adrew, also known as Brian,
James, KJB Blue Nasty,
Ken, aka Roper Styler,
and me, Jack, Captain Tenacity.
We're going to try this as a five-person podcast today.
Yeah, we're shaking things up. We got five people here tonight, so hopefully it won't turn into a giant clusterfuck, and maybe it just might be the greatest thing that's ever happened. Or it could just be something in between. We don't know.
So during the week, we got a tweet regarding a podcast, sort of a little bit of criticism. It's not so bad, but it's just a little bit of criticism.
It's constructive, I will admit.
It's from Chris Salish. Listening to your second podcast now, it's good, but Jack needs to let everyone else talk more. He monopolizes the conversation and makes it hard to listen to. I couldn't finish the first one because no one else has got a word in edgeways. Keep up the good work, guys. On a better note, you guys seem well-researched and seem to know your stuff.
Oh, that sounds so harsh being read out loud. No, I will admit, I get into...
Shut up.
I'm defending myself here. This is the time I'm allowed to speak. No, I will admit that I get quite enthusiastic about it, so I do like to talk. But yeah, I've taken the issue on board. We don't really have sort of a formal host. I think so, like, since Ken and I, strictly speaking, founded the podcast, it's just we sort of fell into these roles. It's like Ken signs out and I sign in. It's just something, just one thing I like to do.
Nobody wants those jobs, though. Barry does too. So.
Oh, I don't want to fuck it up every week.
Yeah, pretty much, me neither.
Yeah, this is it. I've taken it upon myself to fuck things up every week. So, you know, I like having someone to sort of lead the conversation, and I might be a bit too enthusiastic about it, but.
We'll work on getting everybody else to have a little bit.
Maybe we can mix it up a bit, like, have other people doing intros. Even if they don't want to, give it a try. See what happens.
Perhaps.
But just to thank Chris for his feedback. We're always looking for feedback.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
And if your feedback is worthy enough, we will discuss it during the podcast and we will mention it and just give it a shout out. So
yeah. So if you have any contributions to us, please email us at kjbcast@gmail.com. Tweet us at kjbcast. Like us on Facebook. We're on pretty much every single social network. So like, find us there.
Reddit
at KJBcast.
As well.
We're on Reddit.
Yep.
Find
Stumble
us there
upon.
KJB.
That's my little baby.
Social network us up, please.
Congratulations, by the way, Jay. You've set up one of our first websites.
I have a job.
Okay, I guess big news this week is obviously Mass Effect. Only one of us on this table has actually completed it.
Yo.
And that would be Ken. How many times have you completed it now, Ken?
I'm on 1.5, but I completed it in 42 hours. I completed it, and it took 23 hours to complete.
23 hours of game time in 42 hours of real time. That is impressive.
It's called unemployment.
Dedication. Fun. Kind of make yourself better.
Fun employment.
Kind of brings up a point I want to ask around.
Sure.
What are people's opinions on taking the time, going around, playing a game for a few weeks, finishing the story? You know, like,
you see,
take your time and enjoy it, or you can blast through it like Ken did in 24 hours.
But look at it this way, right? I blast through it in 24 hours, but accumulatively, you might just play it for 24 hours. So I've still played the same amount. I just happen to do it in one incredibly quick stretch.
Yeah, I mean, strictly speaking, it's the same amount of game time. It's just a different amount of real time. I can't really spend 12 hours sitting down at any one single game.
I never thought I could either, though.
Scratch that. I did play one marathon gaming session when I was trying to beat Brian to world domination in Empire Total War. One glorious afternoon. But yeah, I'll take my time, especially with Mass Effect. Because I'm just so terrified of missing something. I'm terrified of missing a side quest that could give me answers to a thread from the first game or just missing a lovely little character moment. I'm just terrified of missing those, so I want to take my time and make sure.
I did go over everything. There were a few things I missed. I'm playing it through on Legendary now to try and get the final five achievements I'm missing. I took my incredibly sweet time so far. I'm only about halfway through the game and I've played it for,
I think
17 hours.
It all depends on your situation, like, because fortunately I haven't had the time as such because I'm in college and working away and, you know, just playing, I've only played about 3 hours, but the first 3 hours are great. Like, it's just how I find it very hard to get into when I literally get home about 6-7 o'clock, play for a couple of hours and then all you guys come online. It's like, oh, let's play the multiplayer, you know, and I'm definitely more social kind of gamer than wanted to play in the single story. So I'm more in a position where I'm like, all right, I play the multiplayer. So it's turned out I've actually played about 3 hours of the single player and about 9 hours of the multiplayer, you know, which I don't necessarily mind because it does, it makes it a bit longer. But as I said, I would love to play more of the single player, but just time constraints and then the fact that everybody else is kind of like, oh, let's play the multiplayer, and I don't want to kind of miss out on that whole multiplayer experience with you guys.
Sort of accepting time constraints, would you though? Like, if you had, say, the next week off, the next week entirely devoid of responsibilities and, you know, prior engagements, would you then go and just say, right, okay, I'm going to sit down, I got I got my Powerade, I got my Cheetos, I got my cereal, I got my man cave. I'm going to sit down here and play this motherfucker for 18 hours.
How did you know
straight.
That's what I said?
those were the days.
In that voice.
I miss those days.
Yeah, no, I definitely would. If I had, I'd probably play 8 hours straight, like if I had the whole week off.
I don't think I could do that. There's no way. I find that games these days have got a lot more story driven. There's a whole plot line that you need to follow, and it's like reading a book. You sit down for a few hours a day, you read a few chapters of the book, learn more of the story, learn more of the characters, and then I'd go away, reflect on what I learned, and come back next day.
There is pros and cons to both sides of the story, though. I mean, if you power out all the way through it and finish the campaign, you know what's going on. So if you go online, for instance, you already know what the conversation is. Sure, you'll
spoiler
miss some
free.
Of this. Yeah, well, exactly. Spoiler free. But you will miss some of the small key points.
All this faff about the ending for Mass Effect, which we're going to be getting to later.
You have no idea what the ending is because you haven't got that far.
I know, and I want to.
He has every idea what it is because he's already powered through and got it done. So he's not missing out on this whole conversation.
Yeah,
whereas
Jack.
The four of us are.
Yeah, me.
That's you.
Well, I haven't got the game, so I haven't even done the opening sequence. I can't really judge any of you.
It really depends on the person. Like, I always have it's kind of a bizarre kind of thing where, like, it happens to me when I play Gears of War. Every time a new game comes out, I play it for about 2 weeks, go halfway through the story, then I don't play it for about a year. And then I just like, I haven't played this game for about a year. But no, it wouldn't happen with Mass Effect because I find Mass Effect such an engaging story. I want to keep playing to find out what's going to happen next.
I think it's the same. I think it's almost the same principle as getting a season of your favorite TV, say on DVD, and just going, you know what? I could have the most amazing weekend ever, or I could space this out and give myself one or two episodes for the next 2 or 3 weeks. You could do something like that.
Or you can watch them all in the weekend and then continuously watch them over the whole week.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I do.
I mean, it's great for things like the cliffhanger episodes where, like, to be continued.
Next.
Right now.
So many games I just lost interest in playing. Like, I really enjoyed them when I got them. Played 1 or 2, 3, maybe 4 days. And then I just get a new game and put that on the shelf.
That's why you have to power through. You get the story done. Then you don't feel half as bad for leaving it on your shelf, Captain Dust.
Oh, I feel bad. I spent so much money on games lately.
Exactly.
I think it always comes down to that, how much time you have. I said, if I did have a week off and Mass Effect was looking at me, I'd play it all the time.
See, Kev, you're finished your thesis now. Now you have no excuse.
Thank God that bastard's out of the way.
No excuse other than one final essay, one presentation, and looming actual employment.
Okay, well, you have a deadline.
Other than all that shit.
You now have a deadline to finish Mass Effect, so hop to it.
Now, you mentioned the Mass Effect multiplayer, and actually this is something that we've all played and something that we can all actually give some sort of opinion on. It raises sort of an interesting precedent because Mass Effect, so it's the first multiplayer in the series, and I've always been nervous about video game designers throwing in, for want of a better word, a multiplayer mode just because they feel they have to or because the publisher says they have to.
There is absolutely in no way is that what happened this time, though.
Yes, that's a good thing. I'm thinking more along the lines of, say, like, Bioshock 2 multiplayer, for instance. It was fine, but Bioshock 2 wasn't really the best game.
No,
But I'm perfectly willing to see it happen if it's clearly done with an intent in mind. The Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer was a great surprise. So I'd like to get your guys' opinions on the Mass Effect multiplayer and how it fits into the game.
See, I only got to play it for half an hour today.
Yeah. You should be able to get a decent impression on that.
Yeah, well, I played one map and all I can remember is what Emily said to me. It's like playing Gears of War on Tatooine.
Emily was my girlfriend. Just want to point that out.
And that's all I can think of it now.
Gears of War on Tatooine.
That's a fair point. I looked around the map
and it looked exactly like Tatooine.
I didn't realise Tatooine had so many chest-high walls. I think it's probably Tuchanka. Tuchanka looks fairly Tatooine-ish.
I don't know. I had a lot of radar satellite things.
Tuchanka, Richard Hive of Scum and Villainy.
I quite like the multiplayer.
I really enjoyed it.
And the way they have it tied in into the main game.
Tied in loosely, by the loosest possible thread.
It's the maps.
The more you play you're a strike team for Shepard, and the more you play multiplayer, the better your
galactic readiness percentage goes up.
And it affects your single player record too.
Which is cool. I mean, they don't try to establish it with any sort of plot, which I thought they were going to.
I'm happy they didn't, though. I like exactly how it is.
I wouldn't have minded, you know, a starting cutscene or something like that, because...
Well, you're just an Alliance strike team being dropped in, that's it.
I know. I suppose setting up that loosely obviously means that they're not constrained to any sort of established frame.
I would have to agree on Jack on this one. Like, me and you, Kev, we played Rage. And Rage kind of does a similar thing. You play co-op, but they don't just drop you in and they actually give a brief intro to the story. Like, I find, I do like the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, but I think they could have done a lot more with it. And I have a feeling EA are kind of planning, right, we're going to hold back and we're going to month by month kind of drop stuff in and possibly charge you for it. That's just my, like, my feeling anyway.
I wouldn't say necessarily month by month. Like, I wouldn't say sort of a Call of Duty Elite sort of setup, but there will definitely, like, I mean, obviously there'll be multiplayer DLC at some point. So, new maps, new characters.
Game types, like.
Yeah.
New game, like, new modes as well.
There's just the one, isn't there? There is just the one type at the moment.
Well, no, it's split. Well, it's kind of like the first four waves are about just holding yourself together. Then you have a specific assignment to do. Then there's another four waves. But that's the general layout. Like, it does vary, though, which is great. Like, it won't always be the same two things to just keep or whatever. Like,
it's not something you can plan for. But at the same time, it's still the same basic sort of game with enemies are assaulting you, kill them, occasionally complete special missions. It's that. I think you were probably, you were thinking in terms of new game modes, sort of a King of the Hill kind of thing, or escort the package, something like that. Like a new different game mode. I think there's a lot of room for new characters as DLC. Because as it is, you can play as a human for every one of the classes, and then some of the more specialized classes will have different races. And I mean, no one really wants to play as a human, let's face it. Everyone wants to play as a Turian or a Salarian or a big ass Krogan. So I think there's plenty of room for DLC for adding more characters. You know, Batarians, Asari, for all classes, as opposed to just restricted to one. I hope there is anyway, because I'd like that. But yeah, overall, I think the Mass Effect multiplayer scene has been quite a success. Or at least everyone seems to.
Do you think it would have a lasting effect? Because on the way with Assassin's Creed, we kind of played Assassin's Creed multiplayer. It was new, it was like something different, and we're like, oh, well, that was really good. But the Mass Effect 3, do you think 3 months down the line, we'd be like, all right, guys, let's all go on Xbox Live and play Mass Effect 3?
It depends on the group of people you play with. Like, if you go, say, 3 months down the line, and you go to play Mass Effect, there'll still be an online community. The question is, are you playing with your friends, or are you just having a random game on your own?
If it is to have any sort of survivability, it's not as basic and adaptable as, say, Call of Duty or Halo, which you can play.
Call of Duty 4, you can still have a few games online.
Yeah, but I'm not getting bored with the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, but like, you know, I will now play a bit less of it than I did the first few days. And it's only taken me about a week to get to that. So I think it will be on EA to sort of provide some new modes and some new features. Just to keep it alive, if they want to keep it alive.
There was some pictures released that someone had gotten their hands on of characters. So they had hacked into EA, I believe, and then they'd gotten pictures of these new characters that are coming out and new material that's coming out. So if this is true...
Oh, that was a DLC leak.
That was a DLC leak, yeah. So if this is actually, in fact, true, then it'll be a huge drop coming out.
Oh, cool. But will it be a patch, or will it be like an update?
It'll be a new DLC. I think they're going to release new characters and new equipment.
A map pack, sort of.
Is there any single-player stuff added on as well, or is it just multiplayer, or...
I have no idea.
It's a very sketchy details at this stage.
It was just a leak
as opposed to an actual announcement. So, like,
how do you guys feel about the fact that it's only the game's just out and then DLC is pretty much decided to, like, it coming out next month? Like,
worst comes to worst,
to be honest, I prefer that, because that kind of feeds into what you were asking. Like, will the multiplayer last? Like, it'll last for me if they release the DLC now. But if they release the DLC in 2 months, I might be playing a different game.
Oh, and I might be tempted to come back. I think that's the idea. Not DLC news. One little quick thing. Mass Effect. A Mass Effect anime movie has been announced. It was announced at South by Southwest just this week. It's a joint production between Funimation, BioWare, and EA. Now, Funimation, it's a very good studio. Like, they do good anime for those of you who are interested. It'll be dealing mostly with James Vega, which is interesting, fleshing out his backstory.
Vega?
James Vega, yes.
Who's that?
The lunkhead soldier. Calls you loco all the time.
Really?
The character everyone now hates.
I gave out to him for calling me loco. And
they call you loco?
Yeah, he calls you loco.
When you're the girl, he calls you Lola. That's awesome.
only one femme chef player on this table, clearly. So they're basing the movie around the one character everyone hates, which is fine. This was about Garrus, I'd be more excited, but it's not. I'll take it. You know, it's a Mass Effect anime movie. Seeing the character designs, they look quite cool.
Are they going to use the same voices? Do you know?
I don't know.
I assume they would, because I'm sure there's a contract that they have to at least finish the game plus the DLC.
This is an entirely different property. They were only really showcasing early concept art. They didn't even have a trailer or anything like that. So they were discussing. It's early days yet for the movie, but it will be.
That's fair enough.
I'm probably the only pro Vega person at this table. I quite like his character, so I'm excited to see it. I'm not sure I want to see a full movie about it, but I'm interested in. I'll watch it.
But getting back to Brian's point, it's certainly very easy to perceive it as money grabbing, especially with the From the Ashes DLC, the day one DLC for Mass Effect, that drew a lot of fire and even had some boycott campaigns, which is stupid, by the way. If you're thinking of boycotting a game like Mass Effect, you're fucking dumb.
Well, speaking of boycotting and everything, I saw this new thing that came up on my radar last night. Basically, this new group has been set up called Retake Mass Effect.
That's a play on the Retake Earth thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, they are so intelligent.
So basically, it's this fundraising scheme, I suppose, to highlight the amount of disappointment by the fans of Mass Effect by the endings of the game.
No spoilers.
No, I'm just going to say
there won't be any spoilers.
Because I haven't got there yet.
He hasn't got there, so don't worry, folks. I won't actually spoil.
I was really impressed, anyway, by the Retake Mass Effect. It's on Facebook and Twitter, and they have a thing you sign.
Petition.
There we go, on chipin.com. They have a huge amount of following, and they've already raised over $44,000. That $44,000 is going to a children's charity.
Are you sure it's a children's charity? Not just a charity for angry internet neckbeards.
No, it's going to a children's charity called the Child's Play Charity.
Oh, that's the one. That's the one that the Penny Arcade dude set up, wasn't it?
Yep.
Or it's clearly associated
with it. Which provides games and toys to sick children in hospital, which I think is fantastic. And it's almost like a peaceful petition. Like the guy who set this up wants to stress the point that it doesn't want any negativity. Thank you. Directed towards the Mass Effect developers or the BioWare people or anybody in the game. They just want to highlight the fact that they're not happy with the DLC or with the ending, and they want them to possibly write new endings because they're not happy.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not particularly like the Ghost Rider movie, but I did not write a letter saying I would like you to change this, please. But
dear sir, I'm really
huge following, and people love the story. And I don't know what the ending is, so I suppose I'll find out sometime next week.
Yeah, but it's got a huge following. It doesn't have, say, as huge a following as maybe, for example, Lost. But you didn't see any people trying to raise money for charity to get the ending of Lost changed.
I thought they did.
Hmm?
Well, I don't think it was for charity, but I thought they tried signing petitions and
stuff. Of course they did. Of course, like, there's a petition. You go onto the internet and you can sign a petition on almost every single conceivable issue.
True.
This is a problem. You get anonymity and the ability to make your voice heard. You will just go onto the internet and rage about it. There'd be people raging about this if it's not the ending that this person specifically desires, they're going to go onto the internet and complain about it. I can't believe this has gotten that much traction. I love the idea that it's for a charity.
Maybe we should go online and complain about it.
I've reached the ending. I've reached, well, my possible ending, let's just say. And I really enjoyed it. Okay, I sat there with Emily and I was like, what the fuck was this? But then, like, after I thought about it for a while and stuff, it's like, there is really no other way to end the game. Like, this is just where you have to go with the game, and that's that. And that is not containing a spoiler, so stop trying to work. I can see your motors turning. Like, what could this possibly be?
The gears are turning.
I just finished Assassin's Creed Revelations, and I was wondering how they were going to, like, tie up Ezio and Altair and continue on with the Desmond story. And, well, from what I've seen of it, it seemed pretty good. Well,
yeah.
I loved the Altair ending. I wasn't too pushed on the Ezio, but it does wrap up Desmond to start up the new game anyway.
Well, this is actually a bit of a KGB scoop. We actually have someone who's played Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Well, I only got it Sunday and I finished it yesterday. So.
The blast
Power play.
See, that's another benefit for power play.
You get it in time for the next podcast. I have just one question to raise, just about something you said, about the statement that the guy has made, that he doesn't want any sort of negativity towards BioWare and the writers coming out of this. You're getting them to change the ending because you don't like it. How is that anything other than negative?
I don't think they don't want to change it. They want more options. They want a new ending DLC, basically. I don't know how many possible endings there are or how they're affected or whatever. He just says on his Facebook, he wants more possible endings because he wasn't happy. And clearly, a lot of people aren't happy with the way it was ended. I find it very interesting the way he stresses the point that he doesn't want any negativity going towards the developers because he says it's a fantastic game otherwise. It's just he's not happy with the very end.
I'd like to see an online petition get signed and a children's charity contracted to change the fucking ending of Ubisoft's cel-shaded Prince of Persia. It was a terrible ending to a game. Fucking hated it. But I'm not going to go and say, hey, yeah, I want to raise money for charity so that I can get more options for this. I appreciate that he wants to. That it's a really good idea. Instead of just flaming about it on 4chan, he's actually doing something constructive with it, which is a good idea. But I just think the intention behind it is misplaced. That's my two cents, anyway. I don't know if anyone's going to agree with me or not.
I just think that they worked really hard on the script for this game, like immensely hard. Like you play this game, I've played it through. I've listened to many, many dialogues, and the way it's dealt out is incredible. to go and tell someone that their work of art, and this game is nothing short of a work of art, to go and tell them that this work of art is not as good as it should be because their ending isn't the way they would like, I think is absolutely ridiculous. And it's actually incredibly insulting as well. Like, it's really insulting.
I've played about 2 hours of it and I'm already blown away by the whole story of it. But I don't think that's not what he's trying to do. I think he wants more options at the end of it. He just wants to see a different ending. Like you said, there were so many characters that you never got closure on, like that you didn't see how their endings.
Maybe he should have explored more.
Maybe.
Maybe he just didn't do enough work towards it. I don't see how it can be anything other than a criticism of the ending to imply that he wants more endings. It's like going into an art gallery and saying, well, I love this massive painting in front of me, but that tiny little corner down at the bottom, I really disagree with. Change the entire thing, please. Bring in a new one.
That's my point exactly.
I was going to say about a painting as well.
Yeah. Sorry, I stole the words out of your mouth. I'm clearly psychic.
I'll get them.
Change the ending.
Just a question. Sorry, how many hours did you rack up in total?
Including multiplayer? I don't know. I've spent a couple hours on multiplayer, and I played for 22 to 23 hours completing the story once. I'm on legendary mode now, and I'm about 50 to 60% through, and I've spent about 11 hours on that. So all in all, I've spent about 40 to 50 hours this week playing Mass Effect.
Like you said, you played 22 hours in the single player campaign, like, and people are complaining about the ending where I think was it Force Unleashed 2? Was 6 hours the entire game? Yeah. I didn't hear about a massive petition about people were looking for a refund.
I think nobody cared enough.
About 6 hours.
I think it's probably just people are too used to be disappointed by George Lucas these days. Another disappointing Star Wars property. Oh my, whatever will I do?
All people want from Star Wars games is lightsabers and force powers, and they got that, so they don't care.
Yeah, they probably would have wanted more than 6 hours of lightsaber action, though. But anyway, I guess just moving on to another sort of big issue this week. It's an issue that I personally have had to deal with, which was RiderNet. SSX's vaunted RiderNet system seems to have been failing for me. It's an issue that has been cropping up, and I've been reading about it online. There's quite a lot of forum posts about it. Basically, what happens is that you attempt to log in and it doesn't let you. You just simply cannot connect to the RiderNet service. You're not actually given any sort of notice. You're not given any sort of error message like that. It just grinds away in the start menu and doesn't log in. What I find annoying about this is that EA hasn't addressed it. They've apparently told people on forums that they're working on a solution within 48 hours. They've been saying that since at least last Wednesday. I emailed EA customer support, didn't expect a reply, didn't get one. And it seems like just a glitch that seems to be affecting both people. And also, I should mention, it's cross-platform. It's not just 360, it's on the PS3 as well, which means that it is definitely a problem with their servers.
Well, EA servers are bollocks.
You did have try and email them and stuff, right?
Oh, I did, yeah. I emailed them with all the problems. I emailed them with the solutions that I had found and tried and had failed. I also emailed them with the problems that they had said might cause it. And that, you know, like they had blamed it in some cases on corrupt save data. All of my save datas were intact, so it's not anything to do with that issue. I'm hoping for a resolution sometime soon with the issue, but we'll keep you updated on that if there are any SSX fans out there.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I haven't had that problem at all. Whereas, like, I played FIFA now, and they kind of use the same system with their online and Ultimate Team and whatnot. So it's an interesting one, I think. SSX is so supported by RiderNet. If RiderNet goes down, your entire game goes down. Whereas in FIFA, if you have a problem with the online, it's just kind of the multiplayer aspect of it. But it's still annoying as it is. But EA tend to do when they have that problem is that they basically shut the servers off for 2 to 3 hours so nobody can log in and kind of fix it. But I don't think they can do that option with RiderNet because everybody that has a game then will be affected.
Yeah. Well, like it's not even affecting everyone because I was trying to log in while Ken was online. And Ken had no trouble logging in.
I even logged out and then tried to log back in to see if there would be any issue with me. Maybe the whole server was down. It was just him. It wasn't affecting me whatsoever.
So it's selective.
It's selective, but for no really... It seems to be affecting people who have played the game more in over a certain amount of hours. But since I don't know how many hours of SSX I have played, I find that very difficult to track.
Could it have been like you've done a specific mission and it triggered it, or...
I don't think so. I haven't advanced that too far in the single player game. And I've been playing a lot of explore and multiplayer. But the only thing is, I've only been playing really the same levels because I'm trying to beat Ken and Brian's times and scores.
You'll never do it.
What's the issue with RiderNet being down? What happens? Like, can you not play online or?
Well, the problem is with RiderNet is that you have to log into it before you get to the start menu. Like, it'll come up the SSX title screen, press start, and then it'll go, this game saves automatically, and then it'll have the logging into RiderNet symbol at the bottom.
Same as FIFA.
Yeah, it's the same as FIFA. Like, they've got sort of a system, a unifying system for the game that tracks all your data.
What does it mean for you? What, like, can you not play
online? It means I can't play online. It means I actually cannot play while I'm connected. It means I actually can't play when I'm connected to Xbox Live. I have to be offline to play SSX. And the main reason that I'm playing SSX at the moment is because it's such a social game. I mean, I said as much in my review. I love the new multiplayer aspect, and I love that I can log on and have seen that Brian has beaten two of my times, and I'll spend some time trying to beat that, or I might set a new score for Ken to do.
I think me and Ken can agree, though. You don't really want to come back anytime soon because we're smashing your times.
Oh, thanks. I know, it's so frustrating. I'm offline, and I have no way of getting back
on.
I'm
pretty sure I've hit at least six of your scores before Mass Effect came out.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah, beating your times, I think, four or
EA,
five times.
EA, if you're listening, I know you're not, but if you are, please fix this issue. I want to smash these guys' scores.
Diablo 3 got a release date this morning. It's going to be out on May 15th, finally. I pre-ordered this game months ago, so I'm incredibly excited.
How did you pre-order it?
GameStop have got pre-orders for everything. They've had pre-orders for GTA 5 for the last 3 months. It hasn't even got a release date yet.
Oh.
I don't like that.
But I pre-ordered it anyway. The collector's edition. It looks fucking incredible. I'm so excited about it.
Now, one thing I read is that if you pre-order Diablo 3 online, you will be able to get it the second it's released, thanks to Blizzard's Battle.net. Now, I haven't used Battle.net. Kev, you are the only one of us who's You've used Battle.net as well? Okay. I just would like to get your guys' opinions on Battle.net as a system, because I know it's in opposition to Steam, which is sort of the de facto digital distribution and multiplayer structure.
I used it as more of a playing platform. Like, I used it for Diablo 2 to play online, and I used their server, their system, their Battle.net system. I've never downloaded anything through Battle.net.
I was just saying Battle.net as a system of digital distribution. Have you used it for that?
Be using for
as,
for
yeah, games. as a platform like Steam.
Well, I think Steam has monopoly over everything.
Oh, no, there's like everything is crap compared to Steam. Steam is the market leader. It's just there's no point even going against Steam at this stage. Like, everything is coming over to Steam. What was that recently? Star Trek Online got moved into Steam. Like,
everything's in Steam these days.
Not for Mac though.
Yeah, not for Mac. Then again, not many people game on Mac.
If you wanted to play video games, you shouldn't have got a Mac.
Yeah, very true.
But no, like, I personally, Steam is a fantastic service.
It's fantastic. Like, no, like, click of a button, there you go. Happy days, have your game.
And you get fantastic download speeds as well.
Mm.
Yeah, and
for those of us who can download more than 2 megabytes a second.
Yeah, well, that's because you live in the back ass and nowhere.
Copy backup of all your games. If you get a new laptop, which I am next week.
Yay. Hey.
I'll be able to.
What you doing with your old one?
It will be using as a doorstep. It actually died on me last week.
Nice.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, so like, it'll be so handy for just downloading Steam and downloading all my games ready to go.
Yeah, because they're all there. Once you've purchased or registered a game with Steam, you just get to access it wherever you want.
Problem is, though, you don't have your save files.
Didn't even think
about
that.
Yeah, you don't. That's the problem I had. I had to start my Shogun 2 multiplayer career all over again.
Yep.
Okay, all right. I might do some doohickey and try and get it back for
a little bit of data.
Well, at least now you have a little bit of time to think about it and prepare for it.
I didn't. Mine just died.
Here's a question for you, most of all, Jack. Yep. What do you think of the Game of Thrones MMO? Because I know you're an avid fan of Game of Thrones.
I know you're an avid fan of Game of Thrones too.
Well,
I think we all are.
That's all your fault.
You haven't seen the series or read the books, have you?
No, because none of you put it in your weekly recommendation.
We'll get you into it, don't worry.
It cuts us deep. I'll get you the episodes. Anyway, Game of Thrones MMO, it's interesting. Personally, I'm not too excited about it. I've seen the Game of Thrones RPG screenshots, and it looks like a bad Dragon Age, to be honest. Now, you were describing to me earlier on, Jay, some of the features of it. Like, could you just like give us a quick rundown of what they are, as you understand them so far? It's early days yet, but...
Yeah, from what I've been reading... The playable area will span from the Wall in the north to south beyond King's Landing. There's the three main factions of the Lannisters, Baratheons, and the Starks that you can play as. Politics play a huge role in the game as well. The higher you rank up, the more likely you are to be like sitting on the throne, but you can only get there with people's votes from your house and obviously through other smaller factions.
Political intrigue and backstabbing as well.
But you don't actually play as those three factions. You play as the smaller...
What, just the liege lords?
Yes, you play as the liege lords, like from their houses, and you work your way up through it and become more and more popular.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see if they could make the mechanics work.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
It's a very complex system to try and develop.
TV tie-ins never work.
They are trying to bring in the whole backstabbing and manipulation of people and NPCs as well.
It's all been done before and probably be done better.
It's not, you're actually not playing for the throne, you're playing for the position of hand.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it plays out. Speaking of movie tie-ins, though, The Amazing Spider-Man got a release trailer.
Yeah.
Not a release trailer, sorry. A gameplay trailer this week.
This is
actually gone from being something that is like, oh, fantastic movie tie-in game. What am I going to do about this? Ignore it. Obviously, it's a movie tie-in game. They're generally shit. To being something that is actually on my radar now. Right. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer. Basically, it's showcasing not only the combat but also the open world exploring. It's getting back to an open world Spider-Man game.
Like
Spider-Man 2, exactly. The PlayStation 2's Spider-Man 2 is one of my favorite games on the PlayStation 2. I will admit, because you're just able to swing around New York. You get to be Spider-Man in New York, and you got New York open to you. Obviously, you know, it's PlayStation 2 graphics. It hasn't aged that well.
Last week, they had a release trailer with the Rhino in it as well.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
The Rhino and the Lizard were in there, so it's showcasing some of the enemies. It's clearly a game that's meant to tie in with the movie, as opposed to the studio's other Spider-Man Age of Time and Spider-Man, I think, Shattered Dimensions. Those are the other two that they did. But those weren't open world free roaming games. So I'd be very interested to see how this one features that game mechanic. The only thing is, the trailer's a little bit ruined by a lot of dubstep, but...
I don't mind the dubstep. I like it. I don't like it being an absolutely every commercial. Like Borderlands came out too. That had a huge amount of dubstep, even though their commercial was actually kind of funny. But it was like, it's too much right now. I know that it's very like popular right now, but still.
Either way, I'll be looking forward to seeing how this game plans out. One of the key features as well is that the combat is going to be sort of aping Batman in Batman Arkham City.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is obviously a very good and very free-flowing combat system. Simple, easy to use, effective. And with Spider-Man, you obviously got the potential for much more acrobatics and much more smack talk as well.
That'd be pretty cool. Actually, they'd be kind of like Catwoman-ish then, like her moves.
That's one of the things that it's been compared to.
Big news to all the racing fans out there. Good few games have been confirmed anyway. Grid 2 and Forza Horizon. Now, I'm a big, massive Grid fan. I've loved the game. Came out in 08. Personally, I think it's still the best multiplayer racing game.
I fucking hate racing against you.
I think Blue Nessie,
it's impossible to race against, isn't
you would
it?
Agree with it, Demolition Derby?
Oh, I love Demolition Derby, but it's not just in Grid. I love it in any game.
There's no way beating Brian, though.
Okay. No. There isn't Demolition Derby.
Your times on SSX are bad enough. I don't even want to hack against you in a car.
It's simple. Play Demolition Derby. You clip the back of his car. He spins straight into another car or a wall. He drives straight past.
It's one reason I didn't play Demolition Derby with Blue Nessie. But no, Grid 2 is a massive. It's going to be huge. Like they've been developing in it since 2010. It's already been confirmed by Codemasters, and they're going to use all the kind of weather effects that people have seen in Dirt and the Formula One games. And basically, the whole animation is going to be up, the graphics going to be up, and there's going to be, like, I think they were saying there's going to be over 50 tracks, which is like
huge. The graphics in Forza were always really good, though.
This is Grid 2, though. But like I said, the graphic, one thing that made Grid kind of stand out from all the other racing games, though, it's just the damage mechanics of it all. It actually, like, if you crashed into somebody, it would look like a crash. Whereas in Forza, one reason why I'm not like, a huge. I like Forza Racing game, but if you crash into somebody, it's basically like bumper cars. You hit off them, nothing happens, and you're like, oh, well,
I always love that in Grid, though, when I was driving along with just the shell of a car and like everything on red and
no doors. Yeah. No.
People wonder how you're still driving.
Miles an hour.
Wheel just pops off.
That's a big one, and it kind of ties in also with Codemasters. They're really going for the. I've also got the F1 license now on me. Also, as I say, big F1 fan, I love running racing games. And they basically got a multi-year contract off Bernie Ecclestone. If anybody doesn't know who he is, he's the basically F1 supremo. He runs the FIA, so they gave him the green light. So it means there's going to be another Formula One game coming out for the next 2 years, which is fantastic.
One each year? Or?
Yeah, one each year.
Is this going to turn into a FIFA situation, though?
I think so.
I hope so, though. For me personally, because there hasn't been a Formula One before F1 2010. There wasn't a Formula One game out since 2006, so I had to go basically 4 years without an F1 game, and it was horrible feeling.
Just sobbing to yourself playing the same game over and over again.
Would there be enough variance between each year? To make the game fresh.
Because the tracks don't change.
Or would it be turned into like a FIFA thing where you're getting...
No, it's going to turn into a FIFA
slightly thing. New features every year.
It's going to turn into a FIFA thing. And it's going to, I'd say, like, people that play the F1 games, they buy it because they like F1. You're not going to buy an F1 game because no other reason apart from...
I got a new hat.
Exactly.
Microtransactions.
they're going to play it for the F1. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think it's fantastic news. They got guaranteed 2 more years. It was kind of if, like, would they or would they not get another... multi-year contract, but they have, so it's great.
Do they have any release dates yet or anything?
No, well, it's a multi-year contract. The F1 games usually come out in around September. So
Same as FIFA.
Yeah,
they're probably already working on the next game already.
So you say same as FIFA, same as Assassin's Creed, same as every other game.
But I love that. That is my problem. I buy the same game every year.
Assassin's Creed comes out in November, so does Call of Duty. I know because it's my birthday. They always come out for my birthday and I always get them for my birthday.
Year on year releases. I don't play FIFA. I don't really play any sports games other than stupid sports like SSX. I'm not a huge fan of year on year releases. I prefer if there was a huge amount of effort put into one game. Obviously,
Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's just a heroin addiction though. It's something that's bad for me, but I still do it nonetheless. Yeah. I mean, you can't really see.
You feel dirty afterwards, don't you?
Could you imagine Valve releasing a new Team Fortress every year?
New Half-Life.
No, it wouldn't be the same. I mean, it wouldn't be the same though. Like, well, obviously, because it's Valve, and Valve never release anything that they haven't spent like 10 fucking years working on.
Do you know
on.
What I read about last night? Actually, they released a prequel to Portal, but they didn't tell anybody. So, like, there is actually a prequel to Portal you can go and play. That's pre GLaDOS and everything. It's all about the engineers working on the test subjects and stuff, and they're building the GLaDOS. Yeah,
where can we get this? Where can I throw my money?
I found it on StumbleUpon, but I do have the link saved.
Gabe, no, I'll take my money.
I'll put it up on the page.
But like you kind of say about like games coming out, the same game coming out every year and year. But there's actually a new racing game coming out in 2012. No confirmed when, but it just says 2012. It's called Forza Horizon. And this is kind of interesting from a racing perspective because it's done by the people of Codemasters. The whole thing with Forza Horizon is actually done by ex-members of Turn 10 Studios, EA and Codemasters, and they only had a kind of a preview trailer, but the whole kind of thing they're going for is kind of the whole Need for Speed franchise. So it looks like they're gunning for
the Need for Speed franchise.
Yeah, they're gunning for EA. So basically, which is a kind of tall order, but when you kind of Codemasters definitely, from my personal opinion, are the best racing developers. EA, EA basically do everything, and Turn 10 people, ex-members of Turn 10 have kind of worked with Forza, so it's going to have definitely a lot of cool elements. And the preview trailer was Bugatti Veyron driving through a desert. So it looked really interesting anyway. So
was it a new or old Bugatti?
An old one, I think. Ah. Oh, sorry, it wasn't a Bugatti, it was a Lamborghini.
Ah.
It was a Lamborghini. So
you had my hopes up there.
Yeah, I love a Bugatti. I had my hopes up.
One of the EA ones, Need for Speeds, had a Lamborghini. So they're definitely going for that kind of market. And it looked like it's kind of free roam racing. So it'd be an interesting one anyway. And I said, it's done kind of... Some members of Codemasters, I always trust Codemasters when it comes to racing games. So
they've been doing racing games for years, though, so they have the history behind them.
So, racing fans, it's going to be a very exciting 2012 with all these releases coming out that
and
year.
13 and 14, by the time of 2012.
Which is great for me.
You've got a good few years ahead of you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, moving on. News just today, a new Skyrim patch has been announced. Kane, you thought it was DLC, but...
It's not necessarily DLC, but it's an upgrade. And I mean, we were having a discussion... Actually, it's really funny it came out today because Brian came up with the discussion last night that it was about time a Skyrim DLC came out. But I'm excited to see a patch. It's got new kill cam. It's got new features. So, you know...
New little thing, but it did sort of highlight the issue was Brian rather belligerently asked the other day, where is my Skyrim DLC? Why have I not gotten Skyrim DLC yet? Do you think it's time for Skyrim DLC? I mean...
Definitely. I think like 100%. We're in March now. The game came out 11th of November, and I kind of give out about like DLC coming out a month after release. But I would have thought there would have been some sort of DLC January, February. I think, as Ken kind of mentioned earlier, the whole Mass Effect thing. He kind of likes the way it's coming out every month because it keeps you on to kind of play. Now I haven't played Skyrim in about 4 weeks, 5 weeks now. I've kind of lost my character. I can't even remember where it was, where my save file is. So when eventually a DLC does come out, I'll be kind of like, oh, where am I have to kind of start over again? Which, well, I don't necessarily mind, but I would have thought it would have been out by now or something.
I sort of like that though, because I played tons of Skyrim. I played about 40 hours worth of Skyrim already.
Oh yeah.
But
I've probably clocked more than that.
You probably have, yeah. I've barely done any of the main quests. I've barely done any of the only quest line I completed was the Dark Brotherhood.
You see, I hoard myself out. I have all the achievements.
All but of them?
Yes, all. Wow. I know exactly where my... Well, actually, I don't know where he is anymore. I did know. But I haven't played Skyrim since about 2 weeks after it came out.
Yeah, I haven't played it in a while as well, but I'm sort of saving it for myself. Honestly, don't think there's much call for new content just yet.
But I think that, although I'm giving out about it, but you could kind of say it's kind of a good thing as well, because it obviously means Bethesda probably thought to themselves, like, they didn't give you half a game or three quarters of a game and save DLC. they actually gave you the full experience, and, like, they're completely working on something completely fresh for the DLC, which can only be a good thing.
Yeah,
if it did come out sooner, great, but we just have to keep waiting, I suppose.
Well, it'll be a big DLC like Shivering Isles was. That was an extra 5 hour gameplay on
Skyrim. Easily. Like, if it's one thing you can say about Skyrim, it's not lacking in content.
No.
Definitely not.
Yeah, but that's, I would sort of think that they'd be hanging on for a large DLC pack, like a big expansion to the game. Something like the Shivering Isles or equivalent.
Didn't they promise something huge before the game was released?
I think they did. Like, they've obviously got a DLC.
They did also say they were going to take their time and they're not going to rush. They're going to make sure it's perfect beforehand, though.
What do you think the DLC could be?
Anything.
Yeah, well, like they literally have room to do anything. Yeah,
like I would love to see
the Game of Thrones.
I have a feeling like this is just complete
werewolf dragons.
This is a complete random guess that I'm throwing out there. I'd love to see if they brought it back to the time when the dragons were kind of the kings. And you know, Assassin's Creed kind of thing. And they could possibly do that, where you go back 1,000 years when it was the dragon's realm in the world and you were maybe the first dragonborn or something like that. Like, I think that'd be kind of interesting spin on things.
That'd be pretty cool.
It depends how they plan it out in the story, though.
You could also do an expansion. I know there was a very tantalizing bit when you get onto the road to Morrowind. And for anyone who's played Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind, you'll just see a gate leading to Morrowind. And is it, no, you can't go that way. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Hang your head in shame and turn around.
It's like I've got this massive map at my disposal. But I don't want to go on the map. I want to go through that gate, but I can't.
Was that in Skyrim, was it?
Yeah. There's a gate to Morrowind. It's something like the far eastern corner of the map in this narrow pass. Like, they could easily do that. They could expand into one of the other regions of the...
That'd be another game, though.
No, it wouldn't be... Like, in the same way the Shivering Isles. Just to expand into another sort of area of...
Well, someone released this map of... they had the whole map of Oblivion and whatever, and then they had the part where about Skyrim, and then there's actually a piece of Skyrim missing. So I assume the DLC will have something to do with that.
Maybe.
Then again, they could just revamp the Morrowind map or Oblivion map and say, there's missions down there, you have to go down that way for a while.
I love those kind of games, though, if they ever do that in DLC, where you kind of go back down memory lane. Like, just go back to...
It's pandering, but it works.
The Wobba Jack.
Going right all the way back to the first Elder Scrolls game. Okay.
Can I point something out quickly?
Yes, you may, of course.
Last week we discussed the Ratchet & Clank had HD collection, and then that spawned off into a whole thing about HD collections. But actually, that just got a release date. It's going to be May 16th. Of course, Diablo's May 15th, and this is May 16th, and I've got a concert May 17th, and my girlfriend's friends are coming over for the concert, so I won't have any time to play any of these awesome games.
Speaking of game release dates, sort of KGB breaking news, Baldur's Gate has gotten a release date, sequel to the rather popular franchise. I know I myself love the Baldur's Gate games on the PS2.
Yeah, 1 and 2 being remastered. That's fantastic.
I got a very excited message from Jay this morning saying, yeah, there's a countdown, go check out the countdown.
And nobody knew what I was talking about. No, Bob, I forgot Bob to mention game. What the countdown was for, or countdown, where the countdown was.
Countdown to a thing and it's on the place, go and look at it.
Guys,
and
guys, then signed off.
I should have just sent a picture of a red button.
Guys, Kevin likes to talk.
I was just going to say that I love playing the Baldur Gate games, but it doesn't really matter.
I thought you were like, guys.
That's
I
thought
you were going to say something, so just like,
Ken, guys.
Double Fine's Kickstarter has raised $3 million. This is a new project that Double Fine are doing. It's kind of a Kickstarter project. I'm not sure, but they wanted to raise money for it, and they raised basically $3.2 million, and something like 79,000 backers paid Double Fine to do this.
79,278.
Yes.
That's quite a large number of backers.
Yeah. Considering, but like, I don't even remember game? Double...
The
but
original the last goal was 400,000.
Yeah, that's what the original goal was. So I'm wondering if they'll give any of the money to charity or something. But their last game, wasn't it Jack Black?
Brutal Legend, was it?
Brutal Legend, yeah.
Well, they clearly have a lot of fans. $3 million, Jesus. Yeah.
Wow. They were selling off 4 top-tier pledges. They were worth 10 grand each, and that was for... a lunch with Tim Schafer, one of the guys who made it, obviously.
Better be worth it.
But
all 79,000 of them are going to go to that lunch.
I demand my lunch with Tim
Schafer. The top pledges. So people have obviously donated over 10 grand at a
grand.
Time.
Sure, it has a big fan base.
So. But I really did like Brutal Legend, so I would donate a little bit of money.
Did you like Brutal Legend enough to pay $10,000 to see a new fucking game?
Didn't want to go 10,000, but I would have given them like a fiver or something.
Here's a piece of paper with 10,000 written on it.
Where's my lunch?
I spilt my coffee on it, sorry.
Yeah, I think for $10,000, Tim Schafer better pay for that lunch.
He doesn't even pay. He pushes the bill towards you.
Yeah, sorry about the caviar. Us in the game industry, we like to eat rich. It keeps our brains working. I think Kickstarter, it's a great way of getting things off the ground, especially if you have an established fan base, which Double Fine clearly do, if they're able to raise 3 million in that short space of time.
But how much does it cost? Like, I know, like, to make the Modern Warfare 3 game, it costs them, like, in the region of about 400 million.
Modern Warfare games are, like, massive blockbuster things that they can afford. Most of that money would probably be towards marketing.
Yeah, I say so, because the graphics aren't the best in comparison to the
same game. They would have a lot of developers, like, loads and loads of actors.
I'm supposed to get it out every year.
You obviously need a big team to get a game out year on year.
So, like, it's a different scale.
We're saying, like, 3 million is good, but, like, I wonder, would that be enough to make a good game?
Considering they were shooting for 400,000, was it? I think that...
Well, they had released this thing that was like, I'm going to read the exact excerpt because it's actually pretty accurate to what we're talking about. Big games cost money. Even something as simple as Xbox Live Arcade title can cost upwards of $2 to $3 million. Gee. For disc-based games, it can be over 10 times that amount. So the fact that they got $3 million is incredible, considering they were only asking for, what was it, 400,000?
400,000, yeah.
Well, like, if they make use of that extra money, they could make a much better game. So win-win.
Indie devs have to cut corners, so they do. But usually they can do it in a really creative way. And this is an established game studio. This isn't obviously just someone starting out and saying, give me money so I can make an Angry Birds ripoff. This is a proper game studio with some really good creative minds behind it.
There's no pressure on them, though, at all.
Either way, I wish them luck.
I want my money back.
And I wonder what they're going to do with any leftover cash.
But you do. That's a beautiful thing about Kickstarter. Like, if the project fails, you get all your money back. You get it all refunded.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. That's the thing about Kickstarter. You put your money in to a project that you would like to see going, on the understanding that you will get something back from it, whether it'll be like a bit of exclusive content for a game, or maybe a t-shirt if it's a podcast.
Yeah, they gave away t-shirts.
Yeah, they get like t-shirts. Something that no one else has other than the people who contributed to Kickstarter.
I figured out the solution, what they're going to do. Make everybody happy. They're going to have a 6-hour long credits with everybody's name on it that you can't skip.
And that's the Kickstarter project.
they're gonna ruin it for me by putting an achievement at the end.
Unskippable credit sequence. What diabolical minds these people are.
They use the Kinect to make sure you watch the whole thing as well.
Right, so just move on to business news. Kev, you have a pretty big story to break.
Business news, yeah. We have game in England, not in Ireland, yet, I must say.
touch wood.
Gamer points are safe.
Game in England, as of last week, were given 2 weeks, so they have a week left, basically, to save the business.
This is what we were talking about, not as detailed last week.
We mentioned this, but the story has developed quite considerably.
So sales and stock prices and everything have crashed in-game in England, and only recently there's been talk of a possible buyout. By none other than Walmart.
They own GameStop, right?
They do own GameStop. So
just for those people with bags over their heads, Walmart is like, it's a U.S. super chain. It's a corporate juggernaut. It's the U.S. equivalent of Tesco, except it's even bigger and even more pervasive. And
their stores are huge. Well, it is terrifying to walk into a Walmart.
Tesco would be their cousin.
But anyway, as you were saying, Walmart own GameStop.
Yeah. So over in England, they're going to buy out Game, and GameStop's going to own everything. So
does that mean that in America, when Walmart offer one DLC and GameStop are offering another, they're pretty much competing against themselves?
No, they're not competing against themselves. As you said, they're monopolizing. Whichever one you buy it at.
It's coming to us anyway. Yes. So
there's not that many Game in Dublin, so it's not such a big thing for us.
Just have that one game.
There's two in Dundrum.
Is there?
Yes. There's one up in Hamleys, and then there's one on the third floor.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bit stupid.
And both of them offer different special offers and different prices on most games.
Oh. Strange. I think Game is franchised, though, here.
So. Probably, yeah. But still.
It's not run by the same guys who run the one in the UK, which explains why it's not under threat as the one in the UK.
Either way, it's not smart business to put two shops pretty close together.
No. So that should be interesting to watch over the coming weeks, see what happens.
Yeah, we'll keep you up to date with that. Any English listeners are probably waiting with bated breath to see how this thing pans out.
We have one anyway.
We have one, yes.
On other business news, we were also discussing in the last episode that Molyneux was leaving Lionhead and Microsoft. Well, that story has also expanded a little bit, and the former Sony exec Phil Harrison is going to take his place as the EU member of Microsoft, like the head of Microsoft Gaming.
Microsoft Game Studios. Pretty big news. Like, you got a former Sony guy, Phil Harrison's from, like, he's good. Good corporate pedigree.
Welcome to the light side.
What projects has he overseen before then?
Well, I think he was one of Sony's creative directors. Like, I don't know this for sure. I don't think he was as involved with the creative process as Peter Molyneux was. As you know, Peter Molyneux, big ideas man.
Yeah.
even if most of those don't come to fruition and those that do are slightly warped from the original.
So I take it he's more of a businessman then.
Hmm?
More of a businessman
More of a businessman, yeah, but I don't, that said, I don't actually know his creative pedigree, so it'll just be interesting to see how that one plays out. And also to see what Peter Molyneux does next. I'd be interested to see if he manages to pursue this policy of creepy children living inside your TV.
Asking for $400,000 for a Kickstarter project.
I want this child to be able to relate with you. No, Peter, please.
Just let me go home.
And let there be no children inside my TV when I do.
Do we have any DLC news this week?
There's Battlefield 3 DLC. That's coming in June.
Oh, yes. That got announced
and
this week.
And that's the one that's all close combat. And there's all indoors, no large open maps, no vehicles.
I thought you meant all close combat and we'd all be getting swords.
No.
Stealing a little bit of Call of Duty's.
Yes. They're trying to branch into the Call of Duty style of no vehicles, no air supports, no planes, nothing like that.
Right, so they're taking everything that makes Battlefield different and possibly better than Call of Duty and getting rid of it.
Yep. Wow. The most I think I've seen is there's a pool area, and that's the only open top.
Everybody just sits there in the pool chilling.
Again, I thought something completely. I thought, you know, pool is in snooker.
No, a swimming pool.
Why do I keep making these wrong assumptions? Well,
they're trying to make it like you're in a big mansion and there's 3-4 floors and you're fighting through the floors and you're jumping over the balconies and parachuting between the floors kind of style.
Well, at least there's still parachutes.
There's new weapons that they're bringing out as well, but I'm not sure what those weapons are.
Swords and pool cues.
Swords and pool cues. I'll go with that for the time being anyway.
Something a bit different. It's interesting, though, that Battlefield 3 made like show that trailer on the day that the like massive day that Modern Warfare 3 actually had their DLC out, which was two new Spec Ops missions and a new map. Now, I played the two new Spec Ops missions with our Scottish member, Ojiba, and
you cheated on me?
I didn't cheat. It was only an easy difficulty.
Well, I just want to get a taste. I played it on my own. That's right. I knew you'd go on without me.
Don't worry, me and you will do better. Veteran difficulty.
Yeah, because I'm going to need help.
You need to move on, Jay.
I need the help.
You need someone who'll treat you right.
Yeah, come. I'll play with you.
I thought I was going to play with you.
No.
Me and Blue Nessie.
This has just sparked a whole gay controversy
Forever
thing going.
Alone.
But the DLC, it's actually very good. Really enjoyable. And it actually comes with gamer points now. Is it 350 gamer points?
No, it's 160.
160, which is kind of cool, though. I like the fact that the DLC
that's affordable.
Is actually...
That's quite affordable.
No, that's
gamer
the
points.
Achievement
gamer
points.
Gamer
it's
points.
Free for anyone who has Elite.
I used 160 for it. 3 pieces of DLC. That's affordable. Why was that affordable?
No, but
160 Microsoft points instead
of 800. Microsoft points. I've always made that
confusion though. Like I used to think before I got an Xbox, the achievement points you got with your gamer score was a currency to spend.
If only it was
that was fantastic, and then Brian told me, no, it's not. What are you, fucking a moron? What are you thinking? Why would they let you do that? So,
but with 160 gamer score added on, there's guaranteed to be more achievements added on. So I assume there's more spec ops and stuff as well.
As I said, it always goes back to the argument that I said, Roper, as you said earlier on about Mass Effect, it's churning out DLC each month, and it keeps you going back. Although I have to say now, it's kind of the multiplayer is like, I like the fact that now they're bringing out Spec Ops missions. It's not just new maps.
Well, I love Spec Ops. I love Spec Ops more than the multiplayer and the single player. So
I've never really played enough of Spec Ops because no one will play with me.
You're gonna play with me now?
Okay, good, good.
A great co-op partner.
And the people that have played the new DLC, I just want to know your guys' opinions on the new map.
The Modern Warfare maps, as they've been out so far, have been good. I really like Overwatch. Is that the name of it? The one that's set on the top of Skyway. I really like that one. I think that's good. I think that's actually the best one of the new maps so far. They've been good. I don't mind paying for my Elite subscription. Probably not going to take it up after another year, but
oh god, no. Not unless
I'm happy to pay for it at the moment. And the DLC is good. And I have to say I do like the regularity of it. I do like the way that every month there'll be a new map that I can play. I think Activision came up, or was it Treyarch? The publishers came up with a ridiculous name for it called Mapathy. Just apathy you got from playing the same maps all over again.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder, bullshit marketing
term, but you know.
I wonder though, would they be bringing out any of the old maps?
I thought they would have went for varieties and spice
I'm
of life.
For one drop to be of old, like classic maps.
Yeah, well, everyone likes a certain classic maps, but the question is, what maps?
Because
when they did that in Modern Warfare 2, they screwed up and they took some of the worst maps of Modern Warfare 1.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, I don't know if that's going to happen or not though, because it was I don't know if there'd be, would there be legal issues over it, because Infinity Ward as a team developed those maps, like Modern Warfare 1 and 2. So I don't know, would there be a legal issue if Sledgehammer or Ravenhead Studios decided, well, we're going to take your old map. So I suppose we just have to wait and see.
I doubt it. It could be common courtesy between though, like the rest of Infinity Ward.
There's no such thing as common
courtesy. No, Infinity Ward and Activision. No, since Infinity Ward still exists as technically an entity, and Activision are probably the ones that have all the rights to the Call of Duty franchise, I wouldn't say it's any sort of problem.
I'd agree.
Like, the whole argument could be.
They should put a poll online to see which maps go though. Like, I feel like if they had have done that for Modern Warfare 2, I would have been really happy, and I would have filled it out, and I would have been.
Actually, just I'm going to pose a question to the KJB listeners. If you want to tweet us, Facebook us, what map would you like to see back?
Yeah,
a question.
Yeah, if you could pick any one map from
Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, any of the Modern Warfare games to just to get as DLC, which one would it be? Let us know.
Give us some good responses. We'll give you a shout out.
Okay, well, Gears of War 3 DLC is being announced for March 27th for 800 points. There's going to be 5 maps and 4 player skins. They're revamping Jacinto and Raven Down as well for this.
Cool.
And with this game, or with this DLC even, it's going to mean Gears of War 3 will hit 2,000 gamer score as well.
Jesus.
Which will be one of the elite few that have.
Do any of you know what the
highest... Because you need to get special permission to get that.
Yeah, but do any of you know what the highest gamer score is you can get in a game?
2,000.
Well, I'm assuming it's one of the Halo ones.
No,
it's
2,000. Oh, in total?
Oh, no, I meant like literally what's the top number?
I think 2,000 is the most... At the moment.
I'm just betting it's one of the Halo games, probably Halo 3.
Yeah, it's probably Halo.
That's good news for any Gears of War fans out there, not including me. But moving on anyway. Ken, you've got a little bit of an issue that cropped up during the week you need to share.
Yeah, there was this gamer score issue. This actually happened to a friend of mine as well. People have been reporting like a loss of achievements and a loss of their game list. So like they work their asses off, and like thankfully my friend only lost several of his achievements and several of his.
Thank Christ that wasn't me.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's what I said. I was like, shit, if this happens to Jay. But basically, what's happening is people are losing their entire game list and all the gamer points they got in between since they got their Xbox. So it means that they're losing everything, like anything they've ever earned.
What's causing
it? They don't know. They haven't released a statement, but they said that they've fixed it. They've taken care of the issue, and it shouldn't happen again.
I just get the horrible image. There was just some guy bored at Microsoft just going,
delete.
Like, no, hey, no, you can't. Delete. As they dragged him out of the building. So they just that way they said it, it's like, we have fixed the problem. It's just very ominous. We have fixed the problem. He's now on a train to Siberia. But so don't worry, there's not going to be any boogeyman taking away your gamer score.
I'd have to stay awake all night and just get ready to jump on him.
The issue has been resolved.
I can imagine you, like, if you lose your gamer score, that's like your TV out the window. Like, just
No. That's not what I do.
J-Hulk comes out.
No, I'd get a couple of swords and some rifles and I'd go to the airport.
Then you get turned away from the airport. And then you go home and write an angry blog post about it.
The DAA will confiscate your sword.
Okay, how about this? I just go into the airport. I go over to wherever their headquarters is. And then I get all the
equipment. Clearly plan this out. Wherever that place their headquarters are.
Gets a ticket to everywhere.
It turns out it's just down in Cork somewhere.
Well, then I'll get a plane to Cork.
It's down the road in Dunleary.
It's actually in Sandyford. There's a massive Microsoft HQ there.
So Sandyford.
Okay, so we have two little segments we like to do at the end of every podcast. We have our recommendation, and we also have our achievement of the week. So, first of all, Kev, it's your turn for recommendation. What game do you have to recommend for us this week?
Just quickly, we've decided to make it one rec a week. So, not everybody's going to make recommendations every week as we've normally done, because with 5 people, we're going to run out of stuff very quickly.
No, there's only a finite number of things.
I'm very privileged to get the chance to for this week.
Go, Kev!
So, I would like to recommend a game series, Dead Space. One and two.
Great choice.
They are fantastic games, beautifully done, and scare the shite out of me.
Oh, yeah.
I still can't play them by myself.
Really? So, I've known some hardcore, quote-unquote, horror game fans to say that the Dead Space series aren't actually that good. Like, obviously, you disagree with that.
I disagree. I had great fun playing it.
Fantastic story, good characters. But like just some of the bits are just fantastically well done, and it's actually
it's one of the few games that I won't run in. I'll walk down a corridor holding the gun, aiming down the sides, waiting.
Usually because you need it for the torch, but
no. Then I realize that it's behind me, and it takes me longer to spin.
It is one of those good shit, it's behind you sort of games.
Oh, yeah.
But doesn't really hold back in some of the creeping psychological horror as well.
So. Yep. Do you have a achievement? Of
yeah, it's my achievement of the week this time. I'm shamefully going for an achievement from my favorite game ever, which is BioShock. The achievement is called Rapture Historian. It's 40G. It's what you get for tracking down every single audio diary in the game. Now, it's not really that easy to achieve. It's quite difficult. But I feel it's worthy of noting because it's one of the it's an achievement that if you do it, just for the G, along the way, you will add so much to the story for yourself. Because the audio diaries in BioShock, for those of you who don't know, are audio recordings from the main and supporting characters in the game. And they don't start off, and they're not linear, they don't tell any sort of story in any sort of regular fashion. You'll find them, and they will slowly build up this story from nothing. They will flesh out the background that you yourself are being told. It's a fantastic way of just adding narrative to a game. And also, it's just, you know, it allows you to train yourself for some of the harder gameplay modes where you're literally scavenging for every spare little ammo in every corner and dustbin and drawer in Rapture. So if you'd like to hunt down every single audio diary, it's well worth it. Plus you get 40G, so that never hurts.
So Kev, who are you recommending for next week's rec?
Yeah, it's your choice.
I suppose I'll go with Brian.
Yay! And Jack, who are you going to recommend for an achievement?
I'm going to recommend Kev.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got another spot at the
2 weeks
end
in a row.
So pick your favorite, your most hated, any achievement you like. Okay. And why.
One that you think is interesting, not like be born in Assassin's Creed 2. 20G.
Or press start and
falling out of your mom's pussy.
I'm also going to put out that you guys can send us in your recommendations, your achievements. We'll definitely check them out. And
yeah, like if you have an achievement.
Pass them on.
Yeah, if you have an achievement that's burning in your mind that you think is the most annoying or the most awesome achievement ever, just let us know.
If you're sitting at home like, that BioShock one is shit, I have a better one. Just send it in.
Fuck you, Jack. The precedent has been set. Please send me abusive emails.
Oh, yes.
Let's try and get more Jack hate mail here. Yeah.
Join me. I mean, join everybody else.
Oh my God, you're Chris.
Shh, nobody knows.
You can send those abusive emails in to kgbcast@gmail.com, as we said earlier. Tweet us, like us on Facebook, find us on Reddit. We're on StumbleUpon as well. We're on every single social network you can find. So you guys know how this works. You're internet people.
Please just send nice stuff to me, though. I don't think I can actually handle the hate mail.
I love hate mail.
You can find us on iTunes. Please subscribe to that. Leave us some comments. Tell your friends.
I actually have to apologize for last week. Our website hosting service went down. So for a couple of days there, we didn't have any podcasts online and it all went down. And yeah. We apologize.
We will be looking into new hosting services. Fear not.
Yeah.
Very, very soon.
We also note that if you subscribe, you will probably still get the download. Even though it wasn't listed, you could download it if you had subscribed to it. So if you haven't subscribed to it on iTunes, there's good more enough reason for you to do it.
More exactly. Reason for you to do, and more reason to tell your friends. From all of us here, I guess we'll sign off. We'll see you guys next week. This is bye from me, I guess.
See you later, guys.
Kyle Badru signing off.
Toodle Pip.
This is Roper Seiler, KJB for the win.